Mrs. LaMenz, I'd like to start off today asking a few questions about St. Michael's Church. When was St. Michael's founded? Do you know?
I had the impression that St. Michael's was founded right after the big fire of 1871. But I happened to notice an article recently. I received a letter that mentions the history of the Catholic Church in Wisconsin, put out in 1898, and it was copyrighted in 1896. And it states that the little congregation of St. Michael's in Door County, Wisconsin, was organized in 1881. So perhaps they waited to several years after the big fire to rebuild or...
Well, how did they decide to build it at Miseren?
Well, there was a squabble. It seemed that the people living in the northern part of Roseraire wanted the church built at Miseren, and those who lived in the southern area wanted it built in Roseraire. But the trustees decided that Roseraire was on the main road, so the Roseraire church was built. But the Miseren Church, I don't know how they decided to build it there. It is a little north of where the original St. Michael's Church was built. But I think the land was donated, and the people from Miseren just felt that they wanted a church of their own, and they just couldn't agree with the people from Roseraire, and so they decided to build St. Michael's where it is now.
Do you know about how many people attended that church?
Well, in recent years, there were only about 30 families, but perhaps before that, I would say there probably were up to 50 families.
Well, then what was the relationship of St. Michael's and St. Hubert's?
I did read somewhere where they did have a rectory, a house for the priests, but it burnt down. And so the pastor from Roseraire was always called on to say the masses at St. Michael's every other Sunday. He would see a mass there, and then they would contribute toward the support of the pastor's house at Roseraire, I think. Not sure.
So it was a mission church of
right.
St. Hubert's.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything? Do you remember any of the priests who served? It would have always been the same priest as Roseraire, I
right.
guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. When I was a little girl, Father Smits was our pastor, and he was here for many years. And then later on, there was a Father Van de Gavel, but I was married and I didn't live in this area at the time. I didn't know Father Van de Gavel very well. And then when I moved back to Roseraire, we had Father Zielinski, Father Kenny, Father Mickey. Often came, and he would stay at Roseraire, and he would say the mass at Miseren for the priest at Roseraire. I think this was when Father Regan was here, Father, and also Father Kenny. But in the later years, a priest would come from the Abbey, from St. Norbert's Abbey, and especially to say the mass there. But when I was a younger girl, we didn't have a priest that would come in to say the mass at Miseren. It was the pastor from Roseraire that would go there.
Did you attend church there?
Oh yes, many times. If the mass wasn't at a convenient time for me here at Roseraire, I would go to Miseren. If the earlier mass was there, it didn't really make much difference. I went to Misera Rosaire, it was just a matter of the time of the Mass.
So it was really a matter of convenience.
Yes.
Were there certain families who only attended it at Misera and would not attend at Rosaire and so forth? Or?
Yes, I think so. I think that there are still a few families from that area, since it's been closed, that just will not attend Rosaire. They've just had that feeling from way back when, and it's just...
So this feud really goes back over 100 years, and yet it still carries on, I guess.
I guess so.
What did the church look like? Do you remember the inside of the church when you were young?
Yes, it was always very neat and clean, and that's one thing that impressed me. And the St. Michael statue that overlooks the church seems to stand out. The pews were quite uncomfortable because they moved around so much, you never knew. And the kneelers under you seemed to move too, and you were either kneeling or sitting too far back, and if you were in winter time, if you were too close to the heater they had, you practically burnt to death. And in summertime, it was okay. But I always especially enjoyed the neatness of the church. The neighboring woman kept it neat and clean, and they had some pretty bouquets of artificial flowers on the altars. And the choir, Mr. Borain, I think Louis Borain, sang for quite a few years, and he's dead now. And his son, Donald Borain, who lives in Green Bay now, he sang in the choir after his dad died. And so they always had a choir.
Did they have an organ or anything like that?
Yes, yes, they had an organ. It was an older type organ. I think it was a pedal type.
And when were those services discontinued? Just approximately?
Oh, I think about 3 years ago.
There were just too few people attending, I guess.
Or? That's right. There were just too few families, and it just... they just decided, I don't know how it was decided, but the bishop gave the orders that the services would be discontinued there.
Okay, maybe we could go on and I could ask you a few other questions about growing up. You grew up in Rosaire, right?
Yes, I lived my first 20 years at Rosaire before I was married.
And then, where was the house that you grew up in?
I lived on the corner of the Brussels Road, right at the end of that County C, I guess, and CNX. Harry Wendricks owns that farm now, and that's where I lived for my first 20 years. Then I moved to different areas. Wherever my husband taught school, I lived there also, like in East Maplewood and Gardner, Brussels. And we built the feed mill here in 1947, but we didn't build the house here until 53. So I moved back to Rosaire in 1953. So there were, I was married in 1938, so from 38 to 53. I still wasn't that far from Rosaire, yeah. Really.
when you were growing up, this was a farm that had been in your family for many years, right, where you grew up?
Yes, it had always been in my father's family. My father bought it from his father. And there were several sons in my father's family, and they all lived together, the married men with their wives and their children, and my grandfather bought a farm for each of the, well, the two other, there were two other brothers. One other one had moved out of the state, but my two uncles that lived in this area, and my the farms were paid for before they moved on them. You see, they all worked together in the one farm, and then they moved on to their own farms when their farms were paid for.
Do you remember things like when you first got electricity on the farm?
We never had electricity until I was married.
And that would have been 38.
Right. We had no electricity. We used gas lights, gasoline engine to pump the water. And the first refrigerator that my parents bought were the year I was married. They had just gotten electricity, I believe, that year. And it's still the refrigerator my father is using now.
So it's about 40 years old now, huh?
Right.
Well, how did that really change your life? I mean, having electricity as opposed to not having it on your everyday activities?
We had a radio, a battery radio on the farm. We didn't have electricity. We didn't have running water. We had to haul in all our water from the well. After I was married, I lived in homes that didn't have electricity again. It seemed like a great luxury when I moved into a home that did have electricity. And I often thought how great it would be able to just turn the faucet and have running water and things like that. And
how did you wash the clothes?
Oh, I had my copper boiler, which I just sold for an antique to someone for $25 recently. I still
they
had
got
it.
A bargain too.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know what I'd ever do with it. It was just taking up space. And I would heat water in this copper boiler and then put it into my washing machine. I had a little gasoline engine on my washing machine. And I had a gasoline iron, which worked real well.
Now, how did that work?
Oh, I don't remember just too well. I think I had to pump some pressure into it. And it worked real well because at least I didn't have to heat my iron on a stove, you know, these irons where you had to take the handle off of it. And although I did iron all my life on the farm with my parents the first 20 years of my life with that type of an iron. And so having an electric iron and having a switch to turn on in every room was very handy for a light. I guess we just don't appreciate those conveniences nowadays. But not having to go outside to the bathroom.
Did you get indoor plumbing about the same time?
Yes. No, my parents never had indoor plumbing before I was married. They sold the farm not too many years after I was married, and then the house they moved in had indoor plumbing, but they didn't have indoor plumbing on the farm.
Now, did your dad retire and sell the farm? Is that?
Not exactly. My dad had very sore eyes. He always had Well, the doctor called it ulcers in his eyes, and they thought it was from the dust on the farm, and so they thought he should retire from the farm because of the dust.
Maybe an allergy or something.
An allergy. So after he sold the farm, he worked for quite a few years with my husband at the Rose Air Feed Mill. He was an employee of my husband. So he always worked after he was after he sold the farm. He worked for a short time at the shipyards in Sturgeon Bay, I believe. And otherwise, he didn't exactly retire from working. He has a very large tract of land there where the house is in Brussels, and so when my mother was living, they used to raise hogs, and they'd raise a lot of berries and potatoes and things like that on the acreage, and sometimes they'd sell some of it. And
how did a family usually handle inheritance of the property from the father to the son, or how is this usually taken care of?
Well,
I know in your family you said they bought a farm for each son. Was that
yes.
the normal thing, or?
No, I think mostly the son, if there were several sons, well then they'd probably go out and buy a farm of their own, and maybe the oldest son stayed with his parents. But my grandfather, and many, I know many families in this area, had what they call the bond of support.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes. And the son who inherited the farm also inherited this bond of support, and he would have to pay his father and mother so much a year, or in some cases it was if they lived separate in the house, raise a cow or a hog or whatever was specified on the papers.
Were these legal documents?
Yes. The bond of support was legal, and even the hospital bills or doctor bills and so forth had to be paid by the son. And I know several people who probably paid for their farm three times by having to pay their parents' doctor bills and hospital bills, because there was no Social Security in those days, and it was very expensive buying a farm this way.
Well, would these papers be filed, say, in the courthouse in Kewaunee, or
yes,
was it just
I think
in the family?
So. I really don't know. My father still has his paper where he had a bond of support like that, too. He still has it, but I don't know if it was like some papers are registered, but I know that there was a legal document made.
How was childbirth handled in your family, as far as your brothers and sisters and so forth? I suppose they were born at home.
Yes, we were all born at home. And I know even my sister's child, who is he's about 41 now, he was also born at home. But we had a doctor in the family. My aunt was married to a doctor, and so he took care of all our needs. But now all of my children were born in a hospital, and so were my most of my nieces and nephews. There were many who had a midwife, who would a lady who would help deliver the baby, but I really don't remember much about that. I do remember that my sisters were all born at home, but we did have the doctor because of having the doctor as a relative.
Did your mother or did the girls in your family work outside very much, or how was the work split up on the farm?
Yes, we helped with chores, and because there were no boys in the family, we did have to do work which many times only a boy would do in those days. Oh, we helped chuck the grain, and we helped in the fields. I remember I used to rake hay with a horse pulling the hay rake, or cultivate corn, and the horse would pull the cultivator and things like that. We would help haul manure. We'd pitch the manure onto the manure wagon, I believe you called it, manure loader, and then my father would pull it out into the field drawn by two horses. My mother helped a lot. She would help in the hay mow to spread the hay, and we would help unload the hay. All the farm work that we would help with the farm work.
And that was probably mainly because there weren't any boys in your family. If there had been boys, probably the boys would have done certain things and then the girls.
I imagine so. I remember as a little girl, we had to fill the wood box when we'd come home from school, haul wood from the woodshed. And that was one job which we didn't enjoy doing. We had to fill the reservoir with water. The kitchen range had a reservoir, and we would go to the pump, and we had a haul of 4 or 5 pails of water to fill the reservoir, so we had hot water to wash with. And
that was in the wood stove in the kitchen then?
Yes.
I see.
Our chores consisted of doing things like that, hauling wood, hauling water, and helping milk cows. We didn't have a milking machine.
How many cows did the farm have when you were young?
My father always had only about 12 or 13 cows. And then he had a horse barn with about 3 or 4 horses. But I usually milked, maybe 3 or 4 cows, and I always liked to milk the Guernsey cows. They seemed to be more gentle.
Then where did the milk go? To the cheese factory, or?
Yes, the cheese factory right across the road from me here is the one that my father would haul the milk. He had a little a buggy of some kind, and or a little cart, and he'd put the couple cans, 2 or 3 cans of milk on the cart, and the horse would pull it over to the cheese factory.
What about education for the girls?
In those days, it seemed, in this area, high school seemed to be pretty good for girls. When we went on beyond high school, it was considered to be quite a bit of education. In my family, my 3 older sisters all went to high school, and I followed their example. I also went to high school, but we didn't have school buses. Some of the neighbors went, my older sisters went with a fellow who had a horse and was it a buggy? It was a horse-drawn vehicle. And when I attended, my younger sister, and not younger sister, but my sister and I rode with some neighbor boys who had a little old truck, and we rode back and forth the 4 miles to the school in for the 4 years of high school.
That was the Brussels High School?
Yes, it was. My oldest sister attended Dorkewani Normal School, Dalgoma, and then in those days it was just a 1 year teaching course. So my two other sisters followed her footsteps, and then I was the youngest one, and so I also went there. But I did attend many night classes so that I earned my second year of college that way.
Did you board in Algoma?
Yes, we did. We all boarded at the dormitory there. All four of us stayed at the dormitory.
How much did it cost to go to college for a year in those days? Or
you know, I have no idea. I should ask my dad. I really don't know. It wasn't really that much, I don't think. And I don't remember what the board was either at the dormitory. I just wonder if my dad or my sisters would remember, but I don't. I never stopped.
It'd be interesting to compare.
Yeah. I do have something interesting. It's when my first child was born. I have the hospital slip, and I think for the week, 8 or 10 days, I think the total bill is eight something. I think it comes up to $21. I have it here.
Mrs. Lemes, can I ask you now, if there were unmarried brothers and sisters in the family, what did they usually do? Did they stay on the home farm, or would they go away and live somewhere else, or did you have any spinster aunts or anything like that?
Not in my family, but we had several neighbors. In this area, there were quite a few people who didn't marry, and the brothers and sisters sometimes, I know one relative where there were three brothers and a sister living together, unmarried, and they just lived on the farm, lived with their parents, and ran the farm and worked together.
And so they would usually stay
yes.
on the home place?
Mm-hmm. In fact, right now, there is a neighbor in this area where the father is still living, and the unmarried son and two unmarried daughters, and the four of them live together as a family unit.
I see. What about the elderly? We talked a little bit about this, that they'd be a bond of support or something like this, but they all always stayed in the home, or?
Yes, most places. My grandfather lived with us, and he was 89 when he died. Most of the families at that time kept their parents with them. There were no homes for the aged and so forth, so they just lived with their children, and that was it.
When a young girl reached a certain age, say maybe 17 or 18 or things like this, was it common for them to have hope chests and this type of things that we hear about?
Yes, many of them did have a hope chest, and they would do a lot of embroidery work, quilts, and fill the hope chest.
Did they have, we've heard of this custom in other areas, and we wondered if it was the case here. When a young girl reached a certain age, would they have a quilting for her to make a quilt for her hope chest or anything like this?
Not that I can recall. There wasn't a special quilting bee for, but they did have, a shower and linens and so forth were brought to the shower. But most of the time, the mother and daughter and the relatives would make beautiful quilts and hand-embroidered doilies and tablecloths and so forth for the future bride.
Okay, now there's something I would like to ask you to do. We are trying, for all the people that we interview from now on, to get something in the Walloon language. Perhaps you could maybe describe the house, what the house looked like that you grew up in Walloon, or anything, so that we can get a record of the language on tape.
Okay. You'd like to have me tell about the home I lived in as a child, and you'd like to have me tell it in Belgian. Le mot jeune est au fait de pire. Et c'est son foire fouettement jeune. Le pire est une... Oh, avait un pire... est une foire spesse. I said that the home I lived in was a house built of stone. It was a very cold house, and the stones were about a foot thick. Mais on avait de belles fenêtres pour mettre des fleurs parce que il était une loge. I said we had nice wide windowsills for flowers because of the thick stone. On avait une foire grande cuisine comme le mot jeune avait de d'installer là. Et le chop est une foire petite. We had a very large kitchen, like most of the homes in those days, and the bedrooms were very small. Le mirail avait de papier, il est une plafonné, mais il n'a même motif de papier, tu sais. Most of the walls were wallpapered, and my mother would put fresh wallpaper on every couple years. We didn't have plastered walls.
Okay, this is about to, I'll turn it over now.